Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
So, Bryce, we was just sitting there in the green room, inhaling, just air. And I have Kim Brown. She is osteopath physical therapist. What is osteopath physical therapist? Because I can't get it.
It's a physical therapist that looks holistically at the body, mind, body, and soul.
Really? Really? And that's how you heal? Or potentially heal?
That's how we help the body to heal. Yes. Really? Help the body to heal. We just help it get into the environment of healing. The body heals itself. We just help it out.
Really? So go back. Rewind. Number one, I love your background. Just where you are. I've been to Australia, and it's a different vibe down there. You've been to the States?
I have. I did my NLP training in Las Vegas.
Wow. How you do any studying in Las Vegas? You don't study in Las Vegas. Are you kidding me?
I was very
I've been to Vegas. I've been to Vegas, and you do not pick up a pen and pad there unless you're placing a bet or getting a phone number. Well, good for you. So tell us a little bit about how you started in physical therapy, because I'm seeing a physical therapist right now and he's magic. He's really good.
Well, years and years of sports and, you know, just aches and pains and all the rest of it. I just knew that there was something more to being able to help people recover from their niggles, from their sports injuries, from their ailments, etc. So ultimately got my hands in it. Literally, I feel so much through my hands, and that really helps me to be able to help others heal their bodies.
Wow. So you're touching up on folks. That's a good thing. But I was telling my husband, everybody needs a good groping brains. Okay. We were watching the football game and we were watching female rugby. Now you said that you work with athletes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do they heal? They take such intense, brutal crushes to the body. Girl, please, you let me step off the sidewalk wrong and I'm down for a month. How do they recover? You know, now, and I don't know if you can speak to this, but it's a different show, but my friend works in stem cell rejuvenation. But steroids, I don't know what these people are doing to come back the next week and take that same type of punishment.
Most of those type of athletes are very conditioned to it. So they train for that. However, for physical therapy, we can really help the body get in peak condition, making sure the muscles are as loose and as stretched as they can be. Make sure everything's in alignment, you know, make sure things are working the way they should. Full capacity for the body. Those who are not so conditioned take a little more work, but it can still be done.
A little bit more work. Girl, you need a crane working with me. I'm like, what? You know, I try to do my exercises every, he's giving me some exercises to do and I try to do them, but I'm not that disciplined at them. But when I get in there and he uses different modalities like cupping and I love acupuncture, but again, the mind can heal itself plus losing 20, 30 pounds. All right. So now you're not only lifting the joints and the bones, but you're also working with the mind. Tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing with helping people create balance in their life.
Well, the mind is everything. So if you were to talk to that elite sports person, they would let you know that 80% of what they do is mindset and 20% is quite physical. And this is what I discovered along the way, was making sure that the mind was what was in good condition. If the mind says that, I hurt and I'm broken and I'm old and I'm fat and I'm whatever it is, it's all of those mindset statements that create our reality. So I got into NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because there was so many of my patients that I felt I could help more, get deeper, go beyond the bones and the joints and the muscles, and actually get into the emotional history of the patients to be able to really get rid of the trauma, get rid of the emotional baggage, get rid of the chronic illness.
Why do people think that? Let me ask you a question. Let me interject right here. Why do people think that they always have to release the trauma? Trauma is a part of the learning. I understand what you're saying. Some people have had severe trauma, but it's like they walk up to this point, they get a breakthrough, they regress back. They don't want to relive whatever happened. It could be something, you know, way out. I don't know, a murder or, you know, I don't know, all kind of stuff. But why do people have to be freed of trauma so much? We all are going to experience that. Don't you think we should learn from it, get tools from it, sit with it, marinate it, learn from it, instead of just always having to get over and release it or relive it?
Ultimately, you don't want to be the victim of it. You want to be the victor of it. Mm-hmm. So by people releasing it, it means that they've gone through that process of learning from it. What have I gained from this experience rather than what have I lost? And the thing is, some people will stay in it. And you'll know of people that have had something happen 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they're still talking about it as if it was yesterday. Whereas others have gone, you know what? I am no longer going to be the victim of that problem. I'm going to learn from it, release the trauma, as in get rid of the fact that you are part of that event. Mm. Take the positives from it. What did you learn? You know, what can you grow from? And therefore, you don't have to hold that negativity in your nervous system. Otherwise, you end up staying in fight and flight system as the victim.
Yeah, and people are staying stuck. And they're getting stuck. If they weren't, they're stuck now. Mm-hmm. With all of this COVID and isolation and lies and snickery. People are mean, too, right now, Kim. You notice that?
Yes, very much so. Absolutely. No,
but that's not me and you.
Humanity has taken a negative turn. No. Not us. Not us.
So what do you do to show love? What's the last thing that you did to show love? I did one today. I'll tell you what it was. But you go first.
I cooked pancakes for breakfast.
Ooh.
That was the last thing I did.
Oh, that was good. Did you have maple syrup with them? Or did you have fruit on them? What'd you have with them?
I didn't have maple syrup this morning. I normally have fruit and I'll have honey. And just depends on what everyone feels like. Some, you know, strawberries and honey are a favorite.
Was that self-love or did you share that with the family?
Oh, I shared it for the family, but there's only a couple in the family that actually eat it. So it was more for me.
Brilliant. That was nice. Well, I went to the doctor's office today. Long story short, the elevator was broke. The nurse comes over and she's very snarky. And she says to us, these elevators are out. But her tone and her demeanor. So the lady said, okay, thank you. We know. And she said, I'm telling the people that don't know. So I go back over there and I tell her, I say, you know, that was not nice. You're in a hospital. People are sick here. You know, they're not coming here for shit and giggles. So you be nice. If that's your job today is to tell them about the elevator, you be nice about it. But I was nice to her. I gave her a $10 Starbucks gift card for taking a tongue lashing. But, you know, that was an act of love. But you don't treat people just any kind of way. You don't know what their circumstances are. You don't know what they're thinking. It takes effort to be kind. Yeah. All right. So tell me about the book. You are in an anthology. I want to hear all about that.
So the book that I was part of is called Decoding the Wellness Mantra. So a group of us got together and we all became co-authors of this beautiful book. It just meant that we were able to write a chapter based on our zone of genius. And it's all about, you know, what area of healthcare or wellness are we part of? And therefore, each of us were able to, you know, put our bit in. So my chapter was all about how mental health mindset affects our game. So if you think you can, you are right. If you think you can't, you are right also. So it's all about the belief systems and what it is you think about every day. If you think life's going to be hard, guess what? It will be. If you think life is going to be amazing, well, you get to create that too.
Okay. Two things. People think that mindset is one particular mindset. I think just depends on whatever facet or area of your life, you have to misconstrue it. You have to set it, you know, what the priorities are, how much you're willing to invest, how much bandwidth you have to expand to, you know, some people just don't have it. And some people have a huge capacity. So they're working with coaches like you to kind of figure out, you know, where they are. Another thing, NLP. I love it. I'm getting ready to take a course. I'm going to start in April. Because I really believe it's how you talk to yourself. I love to talk to myself. I do. You know, and I have, as a kid, I had imaginary friends and I talked to spirits and stuff. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. But it's the conversation that you have, the reprogramming, the reframing, you know, the daily preparation for the next day, accepting responsibility for your actions, you know, accepting when things don't go your way. Going on the journey. Am I preaching?
You're preaching the good stuff.
Whoa. Whoa. So what's your perspective on that?
My perspective is that we are certainly programmed depending on our makeup, our upbringing, our, you know, what is our history? However, we don't need to stay in that programming if it's not empowering for us. If we were brought up to believe that money doesn't grow on trees and you've got to work hard to make money, well, then that's what you're ultimately going to create. And that's what most of the population do. They work hard, but they always struggle, because how many times have we heard the words, life is a struggle? Well, if you keep hearing this stuff over and over again, well, ultimately you're going to believe it and create it. What I love about NLP is you get to choose what it is you take on. And you get to choose which bits you take forward with you. You can drop that other stuff. You don't need to keep reprogramming and believing the stuff that doesn't empower you. Mm-hmm. You can change that.
Yeah.
And you can change it permanently. This is what I love about NLP. NLP is all about the neuro-linguistic programming. It's about the nervous system. It's not just about having, you know, a New Year's resolution or a 5-minute wonder. It's not just about having that moment of willpower. Mm. It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It's more permanent than that. It's actually changing your nervous system.
I'm gonna have to study, huh?
Well, study is one thing. Study can be a nasty word for some people too.
No, I'm gonna enjoy it.
You are absolutely. But it's about acknowledging and recognizing. If you're not aware of something that you're doing or something that's on repeat, how do you change it? You've got to be aware first. Awareness is key, and then you can go and change things. What I also love about NLP is the communication of it. So understanding, interpreting, listening to people and really understanding what language they are speaking. Because we can all speak English, but are we actually speaking the same language?
Right.
And that's what NLP really helps define, is getting closer and more personal with someone with the type of communication. Are you actually on the same page? Are you speaking the same language? Are you communicating at the most deep level with that person?
Well, if you're respectful and honest. So let me ask you just some random questions, because I like to get to know people. Mm-hmm. You are looking brown and luscious. What do you do? Do you tan a lot? Or do you get, really? You have beautiful skin.
Thank you. Well, right now is the easiest time. I mean, it's summer here and we've had hot day after day after day, and I've been where I am up on holidays. I've been here for 3.5 weeks, so this is a product of 3.5 weeks of glorious Melbourne sunshine.
Yeah. So you do you coat your skin before you lay out in the sun outside of sunblock?
No, just sunblock, because I'm very much easy to tan. I have fair skin, freckled skin, so I sunblock a lot, and the rest just happens.
Well, okay. All right. So what is some of your favorite foods there in Australia? What do you love to eat?
Oh, mango is my favorite. Mm. Mm-hmm.
We have those long Filipino kind of from Philippines mangoes. What kind do you guys have? The big?
There's quite a few. Kensington Pride, Calippo. They're, wow. Most of them are from Queensland. So far north Australia, where it's warm most of the time. And they're just beautiful. They're just so fresh and, oh man, it's nature's perfection, right?
Yeah, what do you make? You put it in a salad, or you make mango bread? What do? Just have it, just eat it?
Eat it. Just eat it. Literally cut it open and off you go. It's just nature's perfect snack.
So you, are you married? Do you have children?
Yes, I've been married for 22 years.
Oh, congratulations.
And I have two girls, 17 and 15.
What's that like? How's that driving that car? 15 and 17, 18 years apart.
Well, it offers its challenges, but the good news is they're close enough to be friends with each other. So they're not too far apart. They're each other's company. And, you know, over the last 2 years with all the lockdowns we've had and all the rest of it, they have been each other's company. I'm very grateful there's two of them and they've been able to be each other's company.
Yeah. Are they going back to school there now in Australia?
One will go back to school. The next one moves on to the next stage, going into, college.
College. Wow. Yeah. Then it'll be an empty, well, no, it won't be empty nest. She'll have one, but she'll be leaving there too. What do you want to do when you don't have any kids, you don't have to cook for anybody, it's just you and your man, what do you want to do? You want to go on a vacation? You want to go bowling? What do you want to do?
Run around the house naked? I'm not sure.
Okay, I was going to go there, but I was like, we just met. I don't know if she think that was funny.
I thought I'd bring it up for you. No, I'm actually just looking forward to really reconnecting with my husband without, I mean, the kids are great. They're not in our space or anything like that, but just revisiting a lot of the things that hubby and I used to do before we were parents.
Yeah.
Just going back to being kids ourselves, probably.
It's a lot more quiet. I know me and Mr. Magnificent are just here. Girl, I can't wait to get a dog. I want the little pitter-patter of some little feet somewhere.
Leave some noise.
So, what would you tell a 25-year-old Kim Brown at this stage in your life from what you know, your wisdom, your mindset, you're changing, you're being a mother, eating mangoes, living in Australia? What would you tell that girl?
I would tell that girl to follow her heart rather than following the opinions of others. Yeah, really, really live with integrity and alignment much earlier.
Wow. At 25, she'd been a beast, huh? So tell my friends here, my brains on the edge, how to get in contact with you, okay? So that they can love, like, and share this interview and laugh with us and travel on a journey and just be relaxed.
Travel on a journey. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Facebook's a great place to start, or my website. DrKimBrown.com.
Okay. DrKimBrown.com. Did I forget to tell y'all she was a doctor? It's my bad. I was so excited to talk to her. She's a she's the best. Thank you so much for your love and your light. Keep shining. Brains, I need you to go in. I tell you this all the time. Do it right now so you don't forget. Go in right here. You see it? Can you see it? Right up in here. Like, love, and share here on The Edge. Come back for other edgy conversations. And Kim Brown is going to come back and talk to us again from Australia. She's such a love. Bye, baby.
Thank you, darling.